So today we are speaking, we continue with our series, Finding Freedom. We're speaking about addiction. And as I got this topic, I was thinking, yes, I don't really have a lot of background in this. I don't have a lot of experience. But as I dove into it, I'm finding that addiction is not just cocaine or not just, there's so many areas of addiction. And I really do have a lot of experience in this. Hey, all of us. So I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, I pray as I speak today, may it be you that speak through me, your words in my mouth. I pray as we continue today, may strongholds be broken. May addictions be broken, Lord Jesus. Let people be set free. Come, Holy Spirit, with your cleansing fire today. As we heard the prophetic words go out, you do the change, Lord. Amen. Awesome. So, the definition of someone that is addicted is an addict. You all know this. So, in the Cambridge Dictionary, the definition of an addict is a person who cannot stop doing or using something, especially something harmful. Cannot stop doing something, cannot stop using something, especially when it's harmful for them. So there's so many areas of addiction. You can have one, you can have drugs, you can have alcohol addiction, you can have pornography as an addiction, you can have smoking as an addiction. You the sucker, man, just telling you. You can have smoking as an addiction. You can have food that's an addiction. You can have social media and your phone that's an addiction. You might say, Baptist, hey, food, come on, man. What's wrong with food? Paul said this in Philippians 3. He said, their God is their stomach. Just think of that. And also, social media or your phone, come on. It's a tool to use. What is the first thing that you grab for in the mornings? And what is the last thing that you hold at night? If it's your phone, maybe there's an addiction. So, the definition, according to Tim Keller, of sin is this. The definition of sin is when you replace God with something or someone, and the result is an addiction of spirit. Replacing God with something or someone. So he says it's an idol. Addiction becomes an idol. Colossians 3 verse 5 says this, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. So idol is anything that separates you from the Lord. An idol is where we tend to worship the created and not the creator. Tim Keller says this, spiritually speaking, it is not God, if it's not God who is your source of your meaning, then you're in bed with something else. Is God your source of meaning? I'm asking you today. So we sometimes, our source of meaning can be our wives or spouses. And you say things like, I can't do life without you. I'm nothing without you. Is that maybe a source of meaning? It can be your children. Hey, it's too cold. I can't come to church today. Kids might get sick. It might be your work or the position you hold. Your vocation. It might be your source of sense of meaning. There's so many CEOs or people that had this career where they were the man. And then one day when they get to that age, they have a crisis of identity because they don't know what's next. When they get to retirement, they're like, hey, but I don't know what to do now. Especially pastors as well. You get that. People that were serving, they were pastoring, and now they're older and they're retiring, and they feel, okay, what's next? I was always doing this or pastor this, and now I don't know what's my role. If it is Jesus that is your source of meaning, you will always have meaning. Thank you. So So we had in the someone said this in the previous meeting. Sorry, I didn't go back. But Tim Keller says this: if you want to know if something is an addiction, you will be able to take it away and see what the person's response is. So if it is that it's maybe a glass of wine, hey, it's a glass of wine, good for your stomach. But the moment you take it away, what is that person's reaction? No, come on. Just wine? Why? That's when it becomes an addiction. Now, same with your phone. If you take your phone away for a day, how's that person going to, how's he going to react on that? Think of this. There might be a stronghold here. If that thing is used, because the moment you start touching someone's idol, they get a little bit frustrated and you see something else, something else reacting there. And especially with our youth, it's called digital cocaine for a reason, guys. There's danger in that. And we need to notice. So taking it away, we have, and my prayer really today is that you guys see that there's so many different areas that can be addiction in our lives. That it's not just, it's just the guys that's standing under the robot and they're all addicted. Or there's so many addictions in our lives that we need to watch out. There might be unhealthy habits in your life that's putting a wedge between you and God. And we need to address that. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, is there any of those areas in my life? So John 5 verse 6, Jesus finds the lame man at the bath of Bethesda, and he says this. He says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? So it's like a question that you think, Jesus, come on, man. You can see the guys at the bath of Bethesda, he's been sick. Who doesn't want to get well? He's lame. That's a lame question. No, is it the lame question? Sorry. No, maybe pun intended. So you might be thinking, Jesus, why are you asking this? But when you look at certain people that's struggling with an addiction, man, that's really a key question. Do you want to get well? There's two types of addicts I want to speak to today. The one is the one that's in, you know what, he's in denial. It's like, no, I'm just hiding this little sin that I have. I'm just hiding my addiction. I don't want to let people know. I don't really have addiction, man. I don't really have addiction. And you're in denial. But then there's people that's sitting with this addiction, and they're just like, you know, it's not that damaging. It's not that harmful. What doors are you opening with this addiction? So I want to ask you, do you want to get well? That's the question. Someone that drinks, either drink to feel a certain way or drink to stop feeling a certain way. So one of you drink to feel a certain way, and it's maybe because you need self-confidence or you need approval from your friends. It's approval from people that you're seeking. You're making them your idol. But if you're drinking or whatever your addiction is, and you're doing it from stop feeling a certain way, even if it's comfort food, guys, there is a question that you need to ask here. What is the root of my addiction? Why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling? And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that. You need to spend some time with the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. If it's pornography, why are you doing it? What? Why? What's the deeper rooted issue? Why? The Lord showed me this picture. If you're watching pornography, now remember the picture of an idol. The Lord showed me this picture where you set up this altar of lust. Now, in the spiritual realm, no, physical, you might not see, you're just looking at pictures, but in the spiritual realm, you're setting this idol up, this way you're worshiping at the temple of lust. Now imagine that all over your house. There's something that happens in the spiritual realm that you open a door to. And I'm speaking into this because this is serious. If it comes to smoking, you're opening a door. If it's not a problem, you can stop. But if it is a problem, who are you worshiping? I'm just leaving you with that. And it sounds very serious. So, on a lighter note, Gareth had all these awesome acronyms last week, so I'm trying to do the same. Yeah. I also want to be cool. So there's one guy that wrote a book, Just Breathe. He was an addict. His name is Keith Ripoll. He had this acronym, Breathe. Can we have that? Breathe. There we go. Ta-da-da! We've got Breathe. This is the acronym. So I'm going to start with the B. So the B of the acronym is brokenness. B for brokenness. Admit my brokenness. You don't always have to fake it until you make it. It's something that Jesus said when he started ministry. And this is the B attitudes. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Some translations say, blessed are the broken. For theirs are the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the broken. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You don't always have to have it all together. But there comes a point where you realize that Jesus accepts you just like you are. With all your brokenness, all your issues and your nonsense. He loves you just as you are. And he wants you to be free. So that brokenness, when you get to the end of yourself, you get to the beginning of him. And when you get to him taking control, that's when you start getting healing. So the next one is the R, relinquish control. He needs to have control. Relinquish control. See, we are a bunch of stubborn people sometimes. And we want to do it our way, like Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. An American just came through now. Our way. And we have our ego that comes in the way. Another acronym is ego is edging God out. Ego. Our ego comes in the way where God wants to take, where you need to give him control, but you're thinking, listen, I'll do it my way. I'll just make a plan here. I'll just do it this way. No, nothing is wrong. I'm okay, man. I'm okay. But you need to know that there's power in your powerlessness. You need to give God control. Corrie ten Boom says this. She says that when you're in a train and it goes through a dark tunnel, do you all of a sudden just jump out of the train because you can't see in front of you? No. You sit tight and you trust the conductor. If you trust the conductor that goes through this train, you're okay with him having control. He's the great conductor. And we need to give him control. The next one is E. Evaluate my life with fearless honesty. Sure, guys, this is such an important one. Now, this is where they say introspection, that big word. Where you need to be vulnerable with the Lord. And you ask, Holy Spirit, show me. If there's any area that I have not put under your lordship, there's an addiction or an unhealthy habit in my life, Lord, I need you to show me. You know, in the Rugby World Cup, any rugby match, they have this TMO, also acronym. No, it's my third acronym, yes. Television Match Official. That's what it is for. So the TMO Normally when you have the rugby player and he's scoring the try and he's like, yeah, I scored the try, and the opposition team is, no, he didn't, he lost control of the ball. No, everyone is like, then you go to the TMO because the ref wasn't there, he couldn't see. So then we go to the TMO, he zooms in and they replay it and they check again, did he have control? Oh yes, no, he did, it's a try. So that TMO is sometimes what the Holy Spirit does in your heart. We need to ask him, Lord, is there anything? Show me. Maybe my behavior earlier. Maybe when I shouted at it. Maybe, is there a deeper issue here? Is it? And you have the Lord reverse playing. The Holy Spirit is doing that in your life over and over again. No one graduates from that. The TMO is always there. The Holy Spirit is always there. Where you go back and you say, Lord, look at my heart. Is there anything? So, in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, it's a psalm of David. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, search my heart, if there's any wicked way. You know what? David had a lot of flaws. You can go through the Bible and you can see all those flaws. But there's a reason why he was called a man after God's own heart. Because he was quick to repent. He said, Lord, if there's an area in my life that I, show me, search my heart, Lord. We need to be like David. We need to ask the Lord that. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says this, he who covers his sin will not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Confess and forsake them. So in the church, we say it's important to be in a community. Community is important. And it's important to have a trusted friend that you can confess to. That you can say, my friend, I'm going through this. This is an area in my life. I need help. I'm realizing this. Accountability buddy, they call it. Or I don't know what the female version of buddy is. So there's a friend that's a trusted that is not going to go take your stuff and post it on social media or tell everyone. A trusted friend that's praying with you. So guys, this is one of the key areas here where you can get victory. If you have one of those accountability buddies or a trusted friend where you can say, this is what's happening in my life. Something that was in the dark, that the enemy wanted to stay in the dark, you bring in the light. And when it's in the light, healing can come. Whatever that nonsense is, you pull it in and you say, hey, this is an area, and the Lord can bring healing when you confess it. When you confess to one another. And there's a something of a weight that comes off of your shoulders. I'm telling you. So I had this situation. It was just before me and Nadine got married. It was just when we started dating. And I had a friend that was really close to me, a really godly friend. And at this moment, we like, yeah, you know what, it's just in the beginning of our relationship. And I had this friend and we're watching the score. I think it was a rugby game score. We're watching this on my phone. And hey, the Holy Spirit is awesome. All of a sudden, you know when your a Facebook post comes in and the picture pops up. So I still had all these lady friends on Facebook, and this lady likes to post pictures of herself in bikinis. And we both standing there and we're looking at this, maybe too long, looking at this picture that just popped up here. And he's looking at me and he's saying, my friend, you are in an unhealthy space. There's something here that you need to address. And I realized that. Because right there, we all need friends like that, that can call you on your stuff and say, my friend, this is unhealthy. And I removed that lady from Facebook, and I, quickly, I was in a relationship, I can't have that. So I'm telling you guys, there might be some stuff in your heart, and there might be some areas where you need to let the Holy Spirit come in. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's like a fire. Malcolm said that in the prophetic word that came out. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's a cleansing fire. So, the next one is an A for amends. We need to make amends. So the story of Keith, who wrote that book, when he was 17, he broke into someone's house and stole his guitar and sold it for drug money. But now when he was a Christian, the Holy Spirit started compelling him and said, you need to make right, my friend. And he went back to that guy. He said, hey, my name is Keith. I just want to tell you, you don't know me. I broke into your house when I was still using drugs, and I stole your guitar. It was probably worth $350 back then, and now with interest, it's probably worth $1,800. Here's the money with interest. I'm sorry for what I did. And if you want to make a case, you can. Now, this guy received him with so much love. And we need to sometimes know that you do certain things in life, but you need to get past that ego. And you need to make right with the people that you have hurt. It's not about you, but it is going to heal you. When you make right with people that you hurt, maybe it was theft, maybe it was abuse, maybe whatever the area was, you need to put your big boy pants on and get serious about the stuff that you created. You need to go say sorry for what you did. And that brings healing. Now, there's another part of amends that sometimes it's something that happened to you and you weren't the cause of it, but you have this grudge and you're having this unforgiveness in your heart towards this person. Maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a loved one, maybe it was someone that did something to you or with you, and you need to get to a place where you say, set that person free. I forgive that person. But it's so hard to do that. You might say that they don't deserve it. Why should they? They need to pay for what they did. You know what? Colossians 3 verse 13 says this. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So if we look at this, Jesus forgave you. If you had to get what's coming to you, we would all go burn in that lake of fire. He forgave you. Who are you not to set free? Who are you to hold a grudge, and who are you to hold unforgiveness and cast judgment? When Jesus paid for your sins, you need to let go and set free. They say unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting that other person to die. But you're slowly sipping that poison. That person already went on with their lives, but you're still sitting with this. You need to let go. Remember that story about drinking to feel a certain way or using an addiction to stop feeling a certain way? This might be one of the reasons why you're in your addiction. And this might be the root cause that you have to deal with. So the next one is two letters together. It's TH. It's think a whole new way. Think a whole new way. Romans 12 verse 2 says this. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tim Keller told a story where there was someone that was always sleeping around and abusing women. And then he came to Jesus, he gave his heart to Jesus, and he was in this small group, a light group, where in this small group, they saw all of a sudden he just wanted to take control of this group. You know, he gave his heart to Jesus. He's a Christian now, and he wants to take control. He just wants to take lead, and he wanted to. What Tim Keller realized is he wanted to exert control over the people in that group. His thing was, even with the sleeping around with women, he wanted to exhort control and just leave them. He wanted to feel that power trip. And the same thing is, it just changed forms. From the one area, if it was in sin, which he confessed, and then he came to the light group. Now he wants to exhort control over other people. It's that power trip. Now what Tim Keller said here is when you confess your sins, you confess it with your mind, but you need to confess it with your heart as well. There need to be a spiritual conversion, not just a mental conversion. It makes sense to be a Christian. It makes sense this is wrong. There need to be a heart conversion, a spiritual conversion. And if you don't have that spiritual conversion where the Holy Spirit comes in and burns away all your nonsense, it won't be a true conversion after the Lord. You need to be converted in your spirit. And your heart needs to follow that. The next last one is, E, encourage others with my life and testimony. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The words of their testimony. So when you go through all of this, you need to encourage others with your testimony, with your life and your testimony, the way you live and your testimony. So you might be saying, hey, but I'm shy. I can't share it with other people. You know, who else to do it than someone that went through it and got victory? Who better to do it than you? The Lord wants to use you. For all the trials you went, he wants to use you. From great tests comes great testimonies. The Lord wants to use that testimony. Even if it's depression. Man, even if it's whatever issue there is, the Lord wants to use your addiction that you had. One last quote I'm going to leave you with is, and the band can come up so long. Jude Fokier, I think I'm saying it right, maybe not. Make God your habit, and he will break your habit. Make God your addiction, and he will break your addiction. Make God your addiction. The more you throw yourself into the love of Jesus, the more you seek him, the more he's your addiction. And it changes everything. It changes the way you live. It changes everything. I want to, as we stand here, there's two types of people. There's one that said, hey, I need to confess that Jesus is Lord. And this needs to be a heart decision. Maybe it was in my mind. Maybe I need to confess it and I need to become a child of God. My heart needs to follow. Then there's someone else here that also might be going through something. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's an area in your life that you have made an idol. And you say, Lord, I need victory here. Come, Holy Spirit, baptize me with fire. So if you are one or any of that, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I see the one guy here. If you are here, let's stand up. Let's all stand up. If you are here and you feel, Lord, there's something that needs to change. As we're going to go into worship, we're going to pray with the people that's here in front. And it's you maybe. Do you want to get well is the question I'm asking now. We need to put God first. So as the worship starts, if you are here, you say you want to get well in a certain area, or you need to accept Jesus, come to the front.